So my message this morning is, what's my motive? Let me let you guys, let me just tell you my motive in this. You guys, Jesus used a lot of parables over and over again, right? And we're very familiar with that. One of the things that he uses, he talks about fruit quite a bit, and sowing and reaping, and he talks about, you know, being known by your fruit, and all that good stuff. And during this time that we're all in, I want us to be aware of the fruit that we're producing. When you get squeezed to the max, what's coming out? When these moments arise where the circumstances are maybe uncontrollable in your environment, or it's uncontrollable to you, what are you saying? What are you doing? What's coming out? Is it the best of the best? Is it the fruit? And that's what I really want to talk about. Because the statement for me really is true, in that you may not be able to change the circumstances, but you can change how you respond to these circumstances. Your right response. And Jesus teaches us these things of how to respond. I love when Peter's going into the temple. This is in Acts, and there's a beggar on the street, and the beggar's begging for money. And Peter basically walks up and goes, "Is that really what you need? You know, like, I know what you really need." And a lot of times, because our focus is on the flesh, because our focus is on the natural, you don't really realize what you need. And God's got that. God's got the need. I harped on it a few weeks ago. And the reason why I say I harped on it is because I feel like I've been harping on it for months now, my own self. But, I mean, that's my picture of it. I don't know your opinion. But I've been all about this, that from the inside out, the Holy Spirit developing you and the Holy Spirit teaching you, and that being focused on the Spirit and not focused on the flesh, renewing your mind daily, that you're not thinking about the fleshly desires, but you're thinking about the Spirit desires. Therefore, then you know what God's wanting you to do and how to do them. And being focused in on God really enlightens you to this position that when you are in a circumstance, in a decision that you have to make, well, you know what you've got to do. There's no shifting of winds here. There's no, I don't know, and I feel like I got to do this. No, you'll know that you know. You walk around upright standing with the ability to say, I have the confidence in Jesus Christ to make these decisions because he's led me to this position, and I'm not in a shaky mindset or indecisive, but I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know what I need to do, and this is what we're going to do. And it's spending that time in the flesh. There's a quote, Leonard Ravenhill, and I'm going to butcher it, so I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not quoting Leonard Ravenhill, but I'm butchering it to this, that television, he just used the word television, is the devil's imitation of joy. And the point being was that you're feeding of the flesh. So your mindset's on the fleshly things, and that's not godly joy. Godly joy comes from the inside out. The way the enemy tries to bring us joy is from the outside in. Outside in's flesh, inside out. Yeah, hopefully, if you were here, if you weren't here, and you're like, oh, I don't remember this. But if you guys remember the chart that I had put up here that I had found, and it was really cool because it was from the inside out, the spirit man, from the inside out of what God has placed in us. He's placed the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. He's placed that inside of us. And those fruits come out. And that's what I want to talk about, okay? That's what I want to get in here. And I really hope you're taking notes, and I really hope you're paying attention. And all of you guys that are watching online, we're so blessed that you've tuned in. And I want you to be at home prepped and ready and writing this down as well, and that you're paying attention because I think it's going to help you, you know? That's not really, I think. I know it's going to help you. I know that this week, many of you are going to encounter something. And you're going to encounter something that blindsides you. And all of a sudden, I want you to have steady foundation and steady feet. Where you're like, no. I know what I've got to do, and I know who I am in Christ Jesus. So, you hear this from our church quite often. And the minute I start saying these words, don't push it to the background. Don't push it to the background and be, oh, here he is again. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, all the words. But there is power in words. There's so much power in words. If you want to start seeing the power of God manifest in our lives, then we're going to have to start paying attention to the words that we're saying, the words that are coming out of our mouths. You know, it's a shifting moment where you're, sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. It's a shifting moment where you're saying you believe something, but then yet what you say isn't the case. What you're doing isn't the case. You say, I'm a Christian, but then when storms arise, you sit here and you say words that are empty. And you say the oh me and oh my words. And you've got to realize that when you are speaking out from the inside out, you're speaking words of belief and of power, of knowing God is for you. That you're saying, hey, I have control of the circumstance because I've given it over to God. So I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm not going to walk in doubt. You know, as I mentioned earlier, trees, we're identified by our fruit. So in Matthew chapter 12, you'll see this great depiction. And it's in the 30s here. I believe it starts like in 32, 33 when Jesus begins to talk about the fruit and being known by your fruit. That you know a good tree with fruit and you know a bad tree with bad fruit, or you wouldn't go and eat that. And some of you, you're like, well, I've never been hiking before. I don't know anyway. But I mean, if you stumble upon a bush with just berries, many of you guys wouldn't eat it. Good move. That's a good move. But for those who know and you're in that circumstance where you're walking and through the woods and you find a tree with fruit and you're aware of it, you can take and eat it. I actually heard a rumor that in New Zealand, if you see anything that looks good on a tree, you can eat it. I don't believe them. Those New Zealanders, I don't believe them. But that's what they said. So my point being is that us as Christians, and this is Jesus's point, us as Christians, we need to be producing good fruit, that we're not bad fruit, that when people come up to us, we're actually able to feed them the good stuff. But if you are speaking words that don't align with God's word, then you're bad fruit. You're producing bad fruit. When someone comes to you with bad news in their life and you just look at them and go, man, that's tough. Tough luck. And you kind of tilt your head at them. That's bad fruit. Good fruit would look at them and go, no, hey, let's talk. Let's pray. Let me give you something. Let me give you a nugget of God's word in this. Not my opinion. Let me give you God's word in this. That is good fruit. So as we continue down in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Words are powerful. These are Jesus' words. When Jesus speaks, we listen. Well, he just spoke. And he's saying empty words are treacherous. Empty words can condemn you. They can hurt you. We have to be careful of this. When I see people in circumstances, and this is what Jesus is explaining, when you see them in circumstances that are outside of their control, but yet you're giving control over to that circumstance and not giving control over to God, then you're susceptible to the circumstance that's surrounding you. It can hurt you. But when you've given yourself to God, God says, hey, all of you who are what? Weary, heavy burden, all of you. Hey, anything that rises against you, guess what? I'm for you. Who could be against you? I mean, all of these words should rise up inside of you. And you should realize, whoa, God told me this. I'm going to skip ahead to my final quote because I have a quote here at the end. I just want to go ahead and say it because I think it's just so good. I'm going to say it 100 more times probably. Another Leonard Ravenhill quote. I got stuck on him this past week. But he said, someday someone's going to pick this book up and believe it and put us all to shame. Someday. Someone's going to pick this up and believe it and then put us all to shame. Knowing and believing the word that God has placed before us and then walking in it is huge. This is something that's going to change your trajectory. It's going to change who you are. So with Jesus walking up and seeing these Pharisees and seeing the individuals that he was currently walking around, it was these people that would dress like a high priest, they looked like a high priest, but boy, they didn't smell like one. Because what was coming out of their mouth, I mean, he called them a brood of vipers, you know, like a pit of vipers of just nastiness. God's looking for people that are authentic. That when the circumstances arise, when the issues come up, we actually know God's truth. Not all of what we heard or what we think we heard or a partial truth, but God's truth. It's God's truth in our life. And even though there's going to be individuals look around you and be like, oh, geez, y'all got all spiritual on me now. Like, yeah, I did. Yeah, right, I did. It's like for us Christians, it's one of those uncool moments. Oh, gosh, here we go, right? Oh, geez, they're getting all spiritual again on me. Good. You got to pray. You need to get on your hands and knees. And that's a really frustrating thing that we have to actually somehow cover those moments up and realize or recognize that, like, we're not cool. We're in those instances. But, guys, we got to wake up and realize, hey, you know what? We have the greater one living inside of us. We do have the answers. We should not be tossed to and fro. We should walk upright and standing and say, no, I do believe in Jesus Christ. I do believe in the things of God. I will pray over these circumstances. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, let me go think about it. No, I'm going to go pray about it. I'm going to go pray about it, and I'm going to pray until I get an answer. So that leads me to this next story, and this is in Matthew. Let me just go straight to Matt. Or I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm frazzled. I got two things on my brain right now that I want gone. So maybe I should just pray and then restart my message over again. Maybe not. I don't know. Let me think about it for 1 second. Hold on. Yeah, let me pray. Let me do this. Here we go. God, I thank you. By the way, before I really get into my prayer, many of you guys are like, what is wrong with Josh right now? I got a few things going on in my head. But let me pray. That's all I'm going to tell you. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, thank you for my, Lord, my position with you. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we are all in this together. God, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you bring peace and you bring substance to the weary. God, that you bring an understanding that's above man's. And God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you for healing. Lord, I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders. Lord, we love you. Lord, we honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I was with an evangelist, and the evangelist was preaching, and halfway through the message, the evangelist was joking and kind of stumbled a little bit, and he looked at me, and he said, I need you to finish this message, son. If I go down, you finish it. That's what he said. So with a portion of his message, I'm actually preaching this morning, and then I'm going to bring in what God revealed to me, okay? Is everyone good with that one? Sweet. All right, now I'm going to start back over James. In James chapter 1, verses 2, it says in verse 8, Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive
excuse me, anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. This is the sum of all that I'm talking about right here. That in our circumstances, in the midst of the storms, in the issues of life, no matter how great, how small, how vast, whatever definition you want to give your circumstance, we are to what? Ask God. We are to seek after Him, to seek the counsel of His wisdom, not ours. Proverbs 16:25, we should be familiar with the fact that in a man's thoughts, in his ways, he thinks they're pretty good, but they're not. God has the best way. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, through inside out, that we learn God's ways. That God teaches us from the inside and says, hey, let me teach you. Let me show you. And there's a revelation awareness that takes place. Katie, you always got my back. Thank you. You guys really, this is why, you want to know why I have a frog in my throat? Because my son, we bought him a stupid new snorkel thing for the pool, and he's like, I hate it. And then I put it on thinking, hey, this will be great. Let me teach you. And then I got water all in my throat. I felt like I was going to drown yesterday, actually. So that's why I've got this frog. All right, here we go. So here in this moment, James is teaching us the foundations. He's like the first pastor in all the church, history of church. He's the first. And he starts off the first group of scriptures by saying, hey, Christians. Hey, Christians. Act like Christians. That, okay, problems are going to take place. Things are going to look crazy outside. Apocalyptic at times. Matter of fact, the minute Jesus left into the sky, all the disciples, once filled with the Holy Spirit, were like, hey, Jesus is coming back. Every little moment, Jesus is coming back. We keep hearing it all the time right now. Jesus is coming back. It hasn't changed. They're looking at all the moments and thinking, man, this is crazy stuff. Jesus is coming back. Think about thousands and thousands of years that have taken place. Jesus is coming back. And Jesus has told us when he was on this earth and through the power of the Holy Spirit that in these moments that seem crazy and apocalyptic and overwhelming, that we can ask God for anything that we need. That we're not walking around aimlessly, that we're not walking around in lack. We have substance. We have what God's called us to have. And that's a good position. That's why I say with the empty words, we can't walk around with these empty words of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. Oh, I'm hurting. I'm upset. I'm in despair. No, we should know better than this. So that leads me to Mark chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 12, and I'm going old school KJV. And the reason why I'm going old school is because actually in KJV, they use a couple words in here that are a little more accurate. I hate saying that because I use NIV and NLT. The only reason why I say more accurate is because the NLT and the NIV and ESV and the KNIV and all those I don't think there's a KNIV, sorry, KNJV, because they're using a word, whereas in NIV, they've changed it to just sound a little bit more fluid through your mouth. But I'll bring them out in just a second. But KJV, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, meaning the morning, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. For his disciples heard it, And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You got to believe that. Those last few scriptures that I read there, you need to believe it. You should believe it. Jesus said it. You get caught up into some past teachings or something you heard, and you get caught up into this and you think, oh, but those are manipulative scriptures that people have used to try to strong arm God into the desires of their hearts. And here's the thing. If you've been listening to what I've been saying, the desires of your heart come from the inside out. And when the Holy Spirit is ministering you from the inside out, then those desires are the things of God. You're doing the things of God. So in those circumstances that are crazy out here that could affect your thinking or your flesh, but when you walk into those moments and you're walking from the inside out, you are not going to be shifted and tossed. You're going to be steadfast. And then those moments will arise where you go, I know what this needs because I know what the Word of God says. I know what His promises have said. I know His truth. I know what He says. He told me that whosoever can have whatsoever ye desireth in your heart, and you can ask. James goes on to say, what does he say? He says, if you need something, you're lacking in those areas of circumstances, because you are a child of God, you can ask. You can come to Him and say, hey, I need peace. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need something. I need finances. I need to overcome this circumstance. How do we do it? You go to the Father. But we allow the outside to affect our outside, which then contradicts all that God's saying about our inside. And then we sit here and we look like a fig with no fruit. We look like a big old fig tree sitting there with leaves that should have fruit on it, but we've got zero fruit. We've got the clothes, we've got the act, we've got our, I'm going old 90s here, we got our WWJD bracelet on, we got our Christian t-shirt, we're playing our Christian music, but yet we're dead. We're dead because we're willing to not pick this thing up right here and believe it. And we've got to pick this up and believe it. Now, I'm going to go in here to Mark, and I want to dissect it. Jesus says something that you guys probably didn't pick up on, and this is why I picked up out of the KJV version. I picked up on something from this evangelist teaching that I thought, oh my gosh. Jesus, in Mark, in verse 14, answered the tree. That's weird. He answered the tree. That's a weird way to say it, right? Wouldn't you think that Mark would have just written, like, hey, Jesus just told the tree. Jesus spoke to the tree. No, Jesus answered the tree. That's weird. And the reason why I say it's weird, because that means the tree was saying something. What was the tree saying? It's dead. It's lacking, right? It's dead. It's fruitless. It's got no provision. It's deceitful. So he's speaking to those things. He's speaking to what the tree is saying. Guys, in the same manner, we must do the same thing. That when we are out walking in our environments, work, whatever it is, we should have the spirit of discernment. That we look at something and we go, I know what you're saying. Right? If you have a coworker like that, you're like, you're not really saying what you're supposed to be saying. You're not actually meaning that. I know what you're really meaning. It's like a spirit of discernment. And you don't have to be direct necessarily to that individual or even whatever the position was or whatever the environment is. But you can go to God and you can say, hey, God, I have a discernment here that something ain't right. Something's not clicking. And God, I'm gonna speak to this. And I'm going to pray that that comes out. And you pray. Now, the next thing you got to also think about is in this particular story, you've got a morning-to-morning moment. You got 24 hours here. And in that particular situation, he spoke to the fig tree. But guys, in order to kill that fig tree, it started from the roots. You can't just kill something from the top. Sure, you killed a branch, you killed some leaves, but if you kill it from the root, it's dead. Jesus is speaking to the root of that tree. Guys, it took 24 hours. Now, many of you could say, well, you're speculating because you could turn around and no one's looking at that fig tree and it just withered right up, right? I don't know. I could be speculating. But I look at it and I go, 24 hours. Now, Jesus can do anything in a minute. We know this. He can heal, obviously, like this. But I'm looking at this going, you know, many times we keep looking over our shoulder after we pray in doubt. That we've prayed and we're doubting by looking over just to see what's happening, right? What's going on? Rather than just walking and knowing, hey, I'm going to let God take his course in the circumstance of the matter. He's moving things around. Because if you read Daniel, the book of Daniel, an angel had visited Daniel and be like, hey, you prayed, and you fasted for weeks. And the minute you prayed, the answer was happening, but God sent an angel to fight demonic forces on your behalf. And a few weeks later, finally, this king succumbed to the battle. In those moments that you're praying, recognize in the unseen realm, things are taking place. The unseen realm, to me, the roots. I want it dead. When I come across something that I'm not, it doesn't minister to me. It doesn't work for me, and it's a hindrance, it's deceitful, it's lacking. I'm going to pray, but I'm praying that it dies in the root, that it goes away according to what God wants, but it's going away from the root. And from that moment and that picture in my head is that it's gone forever. It's not going to come back. I want it gone. Eradicated, dead. My encouragement is that when you're reading into this story, is that you're realizing that in all creation, God's words spoke that out. All creation was spoken from God's mouth. We were spoken from God's mouth. He has the ability that when we are praying in alignment to him, we are aligned, that we are fruit producers. We are children of God. That in the natural, in the fleshly things, that when we speak it, that those words are heard. And that God comes in and takes care of it. That God comes in and says, oh, okay, yeah, all right. I see, this is all up in your business. And this is not going to stand. I won't stand for it either. It goes against my promises that I've promised you. It goes against my will. And I won't put up with it either. And we've got to give him dominion over those things. Because why? Because we're children of God. Some of you have still had a difficult time recognizing that you're a son and a daughter of God. That you actually think that like a pretentious type of mindset or a prideful mindset. That's the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy your identity. That's why I tried to hammer this a few weeks ago. No condemnation, no separation. You live in guilt and doubt because you live in the flesh. But when you begin to live in the Spirit, you will not live in those positions. But you live as children of God, that you sit there and you go, man, I know who I am. And this attack on my family, I will not stand for. I'm not going to stand for these things. And then the enemy wants to throw out this whole idea that this is hocus pocus. This is some like Harry Potter thing. Because why? Because you fed your flesh those things so much. That's why it's funny, because the church, there's some pretty rigid churches out there that are like, you watched Harry Potter? You watched Broomsticks and Bedknobs? Right? You watched this? You listened to that? The reason why they're so hardcore about it is because they know it feeds your flesh. And then you guys get real upset and real up in arms of a dogmatic position that you think that I'm in, because you're like, oh gosh, he thinks I'm a sinner because I've read all the books and I've watched everything. Because I've watched the movies as well. I enjoy entertainment of that type. It's like, oh, that's fun, you know? But the problem with it, and the reason why some of these churches go so hardcore, is because people can't keep watching those things and not being fed with this. We start filling ourselves up of all of these fleshly thoughts. And then before you know it, you just start looking at the things of God as some hocus pocus stuff that ain't real. And that's why I have fervently and tried to many times in our church say, guys, we've got to turn some of these things off. When the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, turn that off. Spend time with me. This was not an argument, even with Paul, it wasn't an argument about alcohol. Of like, and that's the one thing people get all up in arms about with alcohol. And no, I don't drink. I don't. I've never tasted alcohol in my life. And the reason was because I didn't have a temptation or desire to do those things. And then I just kind of looked at it and go, that's just my thing. I'm not going to do it. That's maybe my year-long, lifelong fast of no alcohol. And then churches got really harped on it. And one of the things that people have to also realize is that we've got people in this audience right now, and people are watching, that deal with alcoholism. So sometimes it's very difficult to say, yeah, I drink as a Christian. And then you're trying to minister to someone who can't drink at all because it's a substance abuse. So then that, therefore, a lot of churches came out with this stance of it's easier just not to drink. Why drink? And then they used Paul's scripture to say, oh, I'd rather be drunk in the Spirit, not in wine. So yeah, don't drink. And sure, there's some truth to that, maybe. But really what Paul was trying to say is, I'm so not focused on the flesh. I have no desire to do of these things. All I want to do is just get drunk in the Spirit. That's what he was saying. He was just, I'm just so hungry for the things of God. I don't even have time to think about these earthly things. I don't even have time to think about food. I don't care about food. All I care about is more of God. I want to be in his presence, man. I want to sit at his feet. I want to hear what he has to say. Even I mean, let's go what Jesus is like. Man, I'm like, remember he sent the disciples to go get fed or get some food and get some water. He goes to the woman at the well, and even the woman's like picking up water out of the well, and he's like, I got something better than that. I got living water. Can't live on bread alone. You know, all of these great moments where Jesus is shouting out saying, man, when you're hungry for the things of the Spirit, when you're hungry for the things of God, that's all that matters. You just get so caught up into this, and then you, and someone's probably going to be moronic and tell you, hey, you know, you're too spiritual for me. Good! Good! I'm glad I am. All they want to do is pray. Good! Man, what in the world? I had a guy one time tell me, they said, I can't talk to your wife. And I said, why? Because she just always brings it around to Jesus. And I was like, good! I'm like, really? Isn't that sad? I was thinking in my head, I was like, man. Like, I think he wanted me to team up against females. Like, I was like, no, man. Like, that's... it's a good thing. Praise you, Jesus. I actually think that females are actually more in tune with the Spirit than most men. So I love what Brian said. You know, we have an attack on our women of our church right now, and in the health department, and we're getting ready to go into our new location. And it's a lot of times our women are our worshipers blowing the trumpets on the front line praying, and. And it's like there's an attack on our women of our church. Like, I'm standing against that. That's for sure, right? I mean, hello. Guys, we need to wake up to the things of the Spirit. There's a lot of unseen things, and we've got to learn how to speak to these unseen things. But on the outside of it, you may just chalk it up of like, nah, that's no big deal. They're just weird today or whatever. But no, we need to have the spirit of discernment to go, that's not right. And I need to speak to the root of it, to kill it, so that we can get a clarity and understand what God's really doing and how we can be a part of it. What's the root of these things? I want us to be awake. I want us to speak faith over our circumstances. You know, that tree in speaking lack and no provision and deceitfulness, I want you guys to have that same that same position of knowledge and wisdom that in your workplaces, where you speak to it and go, that's lack. When you can look at your spouse and you can correct them with love, just saying, hey, do you hear what you're saying? I mean, you're praying for your teenagers to straighten up, but then when they're not around, you're looking at your friends, your family, you're going, my kid's crazy. Your kid's what? Crazy. No, your kid's blessed and highly favored. Your kid is a child of God. Your kid knows better. Your kid has wisdom. Your kid knows what to do in all circumstances because you're praying that God does it. It's like the person who's sick and they say, hey, yeah, God made me sick. And then you ask them, are you taking medicine? They go, yeah, I'm taking medicine. Well, then you're a child of Satan. Because you're saying that God made you this way, and you're sick, but then you're combating against his will by taking medicine. Don't take medicine then. It's like this weird theology that we've conjured up. God made me this way. God put me in this position to be sick for a reason. But yet then you're taking medicine to combat against it. Think about this. God did this to me. Well, if your arm is broken, don't go to the hospital. Just walk around with it broken because God made you that way. God did that to you to teach you a lesson. Well, no, I'm going to go to the hospital. Whoa, you better be careful. You guys get what I'm getting at? Because We need to be aligned with what God's truth says. I want us to be awake. I want us to have our ears open. I want our eyes to see. And Jesus was saying all of that from the inside out. From the inside out, we will actually be more awake. Our eyes will be more open. Our ears will be so ready to hear the things of God that you can walk in that stature of, I am a child of God. I have the provision that I need. I am not walking in lack. I'm not walking in an inability to be and do what I've got to do in every circumstance. I am highly favored. I am blessed going in, blessed going out. Anything I put my hands to, it is blessed. You cannot walk around consistently talking about fear and doubt. And but let me just get even on the other side of this because of all the circumstances that are happening out there. You cannot continue to walk around in hate and anger. You cannot continue to walk around with this deceitful mentality that oh, yeah, they're going to get what's coming to them. Oh, this person. Oh, let me tell you. Yeah, I see this person. You're being fed by all of this outside sources. You're angry. You're fed up. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not trying to be boastful or prideful, but I feel great. All the things that are happening around, I'm great. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not sitting here in fear. I have a hope beyond all of this that is so good that I'm able to walk in peace. And I've actually had someone say to me, they kind of tilt their head, like, come on, you're not a little concerned? No, I'm not. I'm not a little concerned. Because my future is established upon this. My future is established upon the promises of God. I haven't gone through anything like these people did. And every one of these people had a sure foundation. When you read the book of Joshua, it starts off with, hey, Joshua. This angel visits Joshua and it's like, hey, pretty much everywhere you walk and everything you do, it's yours. So just remember that. And that's why Joshua is able to finish strong in Joshua 24. It's like, hey, I don't know about you guys. I don't know who you're going to serve. You can choose. But as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. He's able to say that at the finish line. But throughout Joshua, one of the bloodiest moments, like the book is crazy. And you read it, and God had him the entire time. And now that we have salvation through Jesus Christ, and we have the greater one living inside of us, that we walk around with the same power that walked in Jesus. Some of you get real upset when I say that, because you're like, no. Yes, that's what the Word of God says. Like, but yeah, you say, no, it's not the same power. Yes, it is. Jesus told his disciples, you're going to do great things. Bigger things than I ever did. More things. But yet you sit here and you go, no. Because you live in doubt and fear. I want you to stand up and walk in the power of God. I want us to put on the mantle that Jesus left us. Jesus left us a mantle to walk in. Of, man, I know who I am. I'm not defeated. I'm done. Guys, I hope you understand. Yeah, I'm a little different this morning. I don't have some weird burden or something on my head. Like, I'm not at all. And yeah, you may think that I'm a little scatterbrained. I guess what I'm tired of people. I'm just like Jesus, actually. Let me just throw that out there. Because when I read the scriptures of what Matthew's saying, I'm so tired of people saying that they're Christians and putting on a Halloween mask. Like, I'm tired of that. That you're dealing with some mental illness, you're dealing with some type of circumstance. Well, I'm telling you, God told you to grab hold of it and let him deal with it. Give him dominion over it. You keep continuing to live in it. You keep continuing to say, this is just who I am. But that's not true. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie. You need to rise up, take control of your circumstance and say, God, you take care of it. Kill it at the root. And then stop looking over your shoulder and seeing if it's dead. Allow God to move to kill it all. When he says that a whosoever can have a whatsoever, believe it. Believe it. You're a whosoever. Everyone say that right now. 1, 2, 3. I'm a whosoever. So you didn't all say it. I just, because you're too embarrassed to say it. You're like, people around me may hear me. Everyone around, 1, 2, 3. I'm a whosoever. That was a little better, but probably just because Tom got louder. You guys have got to believe it. That when you walk out tomorrow into wherever you are, that when something arises and you go, that doesn't seem right. You rise up inside of you and say, I'm a whosoever, I can have a whatsoever, and this needs to change. And I'm going to speak to this root. I'm going to speak to it. Some people right now that are watching, I know you're watching right now, and you're sitting here going, oh, Josh is cuckoo right now. You're sitting here thinking that this Josh got all into this freak spiritual stuff. Because that goes back to this fleshly thought. Because you've watched too much some weird television show where you got people trying to look for ghosts in boxes and old houses. That's why. Because you are deceived. I'm talking about the things of God. That's why I got so upset these previous owners, previous people that were working in our warehouse. And they would say, yeah, this place is haunted. And I go, no, that's bats. I've caught like 30 of them. Don't worry, I've caught them all. But you have this thought, these people come in and said, yeah, man, this place is haunted. They're like, no, it's not. It's called wind, and there's these metal louver things, and we got rid of those. Right, Ethan? You helped me. We threw them out the window, and we got windows. It's like, no. It's like, oh, yeah, man, there's things that are happening. No, there's not. No, you've watched too much whatever. And it's like, that's why, years ago, I've told you this before maybe. Like, years ago, when I first got married, my wife loved watching, like, these Hallmark shows and these TLC shows. Hallmark shows are better than, like, the TLC ones or whatever, because TLC, someone got murdered, and usually the husband murdered somebody, right? So, like, my wife would think I was coming home to murder her sometimes. She's like, why are you acting like that for right now? Because I picked up a knife, and I'm cutting a watermelon, you know? She's, like, looking at me. Like, you're watching too much of this. Like, you actually think I'm murdering you? No. Like, that's the sad thing. That you see something you've watched or whatever, and you're believing that over this. You think something's happening at work, and you think it also concerns you because you've seen something or you've watched something, and it's like, no. You need to wake up. Man, that's what God wants us to wake up. He said, arise, old sleeper. Right? Wake up. All of you that are hard of hearing, wake up. Like, listen to what I'm saying. God's speaking, guys. God is talking. Everywhere you are, God is talking. And if you don't hear God's voice, it's because you've got something jammed in your ear. And it's time to pull it out. And I don't know what that is for you, but you've got to pull it out. You need to fast. You need to take and turn some things off. Maybe get rid of your smartphone and get a dumb phone. Something. Like, you need to change something. If you've been sick for a really long time, you need to change something. You need to change it. Something needs to
happen. You need to ask God to kill it at the root. God, you take care of this. Eradicate it out of my life. I'm not going to stand for this any longer. I will not entertain these thoughts. I will not entertain these spirits. I am a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. I walk in favor and upright. I can speak to these mountains because I'm a whosoever and I'm going to have a whatsoever. And some of you in this room are still having a hard time believing this because you got a theology stuck and plucked in your head where somebody has taught you that this is some prosperity gospel. I'm going to tell you something. I do believe in prosperity. I do believe in prosperity. But no, I do not believe in the embellished prosperity gospel. No, I don't believe in that because that doesn't align with God, but I do believe in prosperity. So unfortunately, the enemy has infiltrated that prosperity gospel, therefore wanting to take all of prosperity out of your life, and you want to live in poverty. Because like, this is what I should live in. And now I also need to beat myself daily. Let me get some whips, some nine tails here, and let me beat myself, because that's what Jesus went through. Jesus says, no, you don't have to go through that. That's why I went through all that. I went through all that so you can be saved. So you can live in prosperity. You can have what you need. And it all aligns when I say you can have what you need. That doesn't mean that I get some mansion in Malibu with Ferrari. That doesn't align with me. Okay, maybe it might align with someone in this room because I don't know why, but it would. But it doesn't align with me. So I'm not saying everybody's getting a car today because it's a whosoever moment. No. No. I'm talking about your position that you have with God, that you're a Noah. Place yourself in a Noah. And God says in those moments, hey, Noah, I don't really like what's going on this earth, and we're going to fix this, and I need you to do this. You're doing what you need to do for God. Do you imagine how much gopher wood that Noah needed? He needed a lot of gopher wood, right? So when he's walking around going, hey, I need more gopher wood, and I'd love to have a piece that's like 10 foot by 3 foot. Oh, how am I going to find that? Oh, because I'm doing the things of God. And therefore, God says, hey, over here to the left, there's a big piece of gopher wood. Oh, hey, thanks, God. That was great. That's called provision for doing the things of God. You get caught up in thinking, I'm not doing the things of God, and I just want that. And then some of you are thieves. You actually don't give into the house of God. And then you are asking God to meet your provision, yet you're not doing what you're called to do in the little. And then you think right now that pastor wants to take that money. I one time went out to eat with some guy, and he said, hey, let me buy your lunch. He goes, I didn't give this past Sunday. And I go, that's not how this works. You guys think that, like, the people who count the offering, which I have nothing to do with, you think that they count the offering and they go, all right, that Josh, Dave, Jeremy, Katie, Christian, church building. No. If you think that that's how they divvy up the offering, you're crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you're thinking on a different level. This is your provision, what God's blessed you with. God said, hey, tithes and offerings. And when you give your tithes and offerings, you're presenting them to the Lord. And then you're saying, all right, God, you are going to be the one that ministers this out. It's through God. You've provided to God. God then takes and says, hey, I'm going to multiply. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And that leads me into offering this morning. You know, I've said this to you guys, and this is hilarious, by the way. This past week was super funny for me. So I've told you guys, when we first started this church 12 years ago, my wife and I, we sent out letters to all of our pastor friends that we know. And we only got one letter back from one of these pastors who wanted to sow into our ministry. And I was so thankful. I was just thankful. It didn't matter, but we sent out like 80 letters to all these churches that we were familiar with and said, hey, we're about to go start a new church.
It's going to be down in North Carolina. We'd love if you would be willing to help us out with this process. We've got things we've got to purchase, things we're going to do. Could you, you know, help us out? So one pastor, Pastor Phil Fannin, he's actually on our board of our church. And so he helps with a bunch of different things in our church. But Pastor Phil, he's preached here too. And so he blessed our church with $1,000. It was $1,000, and it was like through his church, and it was such a blessing, you know. So anytime a church will ask us to help, I always give. I always give. I'm always like, oh yeah, write him a check. Let's do it. So this past week, you know, 12 years ago, I had one of these pastors come up to me, and he said, "Pastor Josh, I want you to know something." Said, "You know, you sent out a letter years and years ago, and at the time, we didn't have any money in our church. We were just basically flat broke." He said, "You know what? God has met the provision, and I want to sow into your church, and here's a check." And I was like, this is stinking awesome. Like, that root moment, those praying moments where you're like, God, provide. Hey, there's 78 more churches out there. That's the way I looked at this. Was like, there's 78 more churches out there that I'm just, you know, holding fast to what God said. God told us to send out those letters. And so this pastor, Pastor Arnold Dameron's his name, and his wife Barb, they said, "Hey, we want to sow into your church. We've seen what you guys are doing. It is blessing our socks off. It is so cool. We want to sow in. And I know it's late, but we want to sow." And so I was like, man, this is awesome. Just that mindset of 12 years ago that they held on to that. And they were like, man, we want to bless Josh and Anna and Trailhead Church. But man, it's tough. There's just no way to do it. But we're going to. We're going to do it. And they held on to that. And here they came and blessed us as a church. And I was so excited. I wanted to tell you guys this story. I was so excited because I thought, man, all this time. But that goes back to this tree moment. Of like, man, whatever that moment you have right now, whatever that circumstance you have right now, you pray and believe without doubting, God's taking care of the root. God's going to take care of it in the unseen realm. And you got to sit here, and I know this is the old thing that everyone gets mad about because they go, oh, and here goes the word that starts with a P, and it's called patience. But I know my God is omnipresent. Yes, he is. That he goes behind me, with me, before me. My God surrounds my future. He surrounds my past, my present. And he knows what we need. We didn't need that money from Pastor Arnold Dameron 12 years ago. But I know we need it now. We've got a warehouse that we're trying to buy furniture for right now. We're trying to do all sorts of things so that we have seats, that we have lights, we have carpet. So I'm all about it now. 78 churches, bring it on. Let's do it. That this is those moments that we trust that God knows when the provision is needed, that God knows when things have got to come to pass. So I rest in assurance that he's got my future secure. And my encouragement to you is that you have the same assurance. I'm going to pray. God's offering, there's multiple ways.